Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins.
Let's chop it up.
Hello, Chop Squad. Welcome again to another episode of The Business Chop. Our guest today is Benjamin Friedman, and he's the president and founder of Build, Scale, Grow. And we're going to learn a whole lot about that so we can build, scale, and grow our enterprises. Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website, jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand. Benjamin has handled finance and operations for over 20 years, leading those roles in his last six positions before starting his own company, Build, Scale, Grow, in 2019. The company helps founders address gaps in capacity, scale quickly, and grow exponentially. His companies have had five successful M&A transactions in the last 10 years. That's impressive. Well, very impressive, Benjamin.
Thank you, Audrey, and it's great to be here with you.
In his practice, he relies on open communication to connect company goals, team initiatives, and individual performance so that everyone knows how they will contribute to the growth. He helps fast-growing startups scale quickly and smartly again by installing the right systems, metrics, and expertise. Ben, again, welcome to the Business Chop, and let's get chopping.
That's fantastic. Let's go.
Okay. So let's just start picking up some of the things that I said about the open communication. Let's start there. What's that about?
So I think it's really important to set expectations and communicate often with your team, with your clients, with your investors, if you have any, with your board, if that's applicable. But just being very clear about where you're headed, why you're going there, and what you want to accomplish. I find that some founders assume that people know why they're doing what they're doing and what they hope for tomorrow, next week, next quarter. But I feel it's utmost importance to just keep pushing forward around, you know, this is where we're going. This is what's working well. This is what could be better. It's a real sign of confidence when you can talk about things that are off expectation and how you plan to bring it around. And I encourage founders and leaders to do that early and often so they get comfortable with the idea. None of us are perfect. None of our businesses are perfect, but we can always do better. And if we keep doing a little bit better every day, pretty soon we're going to exceed even our own expectations.
Okay, awesome. So what about your talk about in your bio about applying lessons from years of bumpy startup rides? And, you know, we've all had, you know, countless failures as well as accomplishments. But I know what your company addresses a lot of this. So how can we look at some of these immediate problems to help get us on the right track?
Sure. Great question, Audrey. So in general, I've seen two types of founders, and I'm not going to name names here.
Please don't.
We're trying to make this positive and productive.
Right.
So there was one type of founder. It was two co-founders built the business up to a couple million in revenue. And that's amazing when you start. I think they started with $5,000, which is probably enough to buy their laptops and a couple things. And they got the business to 2 million. But what it took to get to 2 million was a lot of micromanaging, a lot of digging in, helping people make decisions, you know, really being involved in every single decision that happened with the business. And that was necessary to get started. But once a company grew to a couple million, in order to reach the next milestone around 10, 15, they would have to start to delegate more. They would have to bring in people with experience who they trusted. They would have to make decisions at a very high level, but not on the day-to-day level. And these are people who are still, they still wanted to open the mail every day as it came in. And I was like, that's not the way to grow a business to 10 million. Unfortunately, that company did not do so well. But another example, I worked with two founders in an e-commerce company. That company grew very quickly. It doubled every year, both in revenues and in team. It did that for 3 years. And after I was there about a year, I could see the founders really struggling with their new roles. They, as well, could no longer be micromanaging in order to scale the company as needed. And they really openly struggled with, well, I want to get involved. I want to help out. But if I get too much into the weeds, I won't be able to keep pushing the envelope, keep moving us forward, find new enterprise customers. And I could see the struggle and the pain in their faces, but they did. They let go more and more. They really focused on delegation, on processes, on thinking about ways that the business can experiment and try out new things. And that company ended up getting bought out by First Data Corporation for a very nice exit. So there's two different examples where the founders were not and were open to the evolution as the business grew.
Wow. And that's where we want to be, whether we decide to, you know, to allow ourselves to be acquired or not. Just to be in that position, I think, is fantastic. And I think you can consider us, we could consider ourselves successful. So are there examples where perhaps the companies did not sell out, or if they did, what did they do? You know, what was their next after that? Did they start another company, or, you know, what happens at that point? You know, what's that next level after that?
Sure. So I've seen a variety of circumstances. There are people who build a business to a certain level, you know, maybe that's at a couple million, upwards of 10 million. And then they're like, you know what? In order to reach the level beyond, I'm really going to have to change what I do. And I'm pretty happy where I am. And so typically they say goodbye to me because I'm somebody who likes to help them to scale. But they want to maintain at that level. And it's a great lifestyle. They know most of the problems that are going to come up and how to solve them. They're acquainted with the industry. They go to events. They keep a close-knit team. A lot of times people have been there a couple decades, people they trust and value. And it's a nice way to have a living. Another example is a founder who builds that business up and after a few years sells. They take a break, usually, you know, anywhere from 6 to 24 months, and then they dive into their next business. They love the ups and downs of growing something quickly and then exiting out. And then, of course, there are the examples that don't work out the way they wanted. You know, maybe they get acquired basically at cost. They've learned a lot of lessons, but they haven't quite attained what they wanted. And those founders tend to start something new, or sometimes they join a larger company and they're very happy as, you know, say VP of product at, you know, one of the top five tech companies in the country. That's a very nice place to be too, if that's what they wanted. So there's lots of variations.
Yeah, for sure. So what, before we can even get to that point, what's the mental acuity or our emotional state that we have to have to actually scale, you know, grow and scale our businesses to get to that point of M&A?
So it's interesting. I feel to be a strong leader, whether you're a founder looking for an M&A or you own a business and you're feeling pretty good about growing 10, 20% a year or any other variation, it's so important to be self-aware, to sit back and say, this is what I want. These are my values. This is my vision. I encourage founders and other leaders to spend time every day, every week, and every quarter really stepping outside of the business. Think about what's going on with the business, not just solving problems in the moment, but stepping back, finding people in your orbit who can be a good sounding board. They can tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. Right. We have family and friends for that. But these are people who will tell you what you need to hear, you know, what you're not doing well, what opportunities you're missing. And then, you know, like you suggested, Audrey, the leader can decide if that's what they want or if they're perfectly happy where they are. But it's all about having options at the end of the day. And the people who build the most options for themselves tend to be the most successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That was a great answer. So you also have a book, you know, that they help us to get going on that track as well. Want to tell us about that, a title and where we can find it?
Yes, I'm happy to. It's called Scale, Reach Your Peak. It comes in at about 500 pages, but before everyone turns off the podcast, don't worry. It's divided into about 135 different articles, each of which is about a 5 to 7 minute read. And what it does, it sets up different topics. It might be around public relations, financial models, cognitive biases and leadership. And for each of those topics, it dives into some best practices, some strategic thinking, and then it quickly turns into practical examples, things you can do today if you're interested to try a new habit or to learn more. So it combines the strategy and the implementation, because I know a lot of leaders are interested in doing things, not just learning about things.
Right, right. So are there some exercises or things like that in the handbook?
Yes. So it's divided into sections, leadership, sales, marketing, business operations, finance, people operations. And at the end of each section, there are exercises which you can complete. And they're general enough that they will apply to you and your business to think about, okay, this is what I'm doing well. This is what I should consider. Oh, this is an area of the company I haven't really thought about at all, but it's time I do, because it's holding us back at this point.
Child Squad, make sure you look at that. What's the website for the book?
So it's available on Amazon in print and Kindle. And the book is called Scale, Reach Your Peak.
Right up. All right. Scale, Reach Your Peak. Awesome. So Chop Squad, log on to that website, go to Amazon, find that, and you know, let's get growing. let's grow and scale, because sometimes we do get stuck and we just don't know which, you know, how to scale or where to grow, because we aren't talking to the right people. So that's important. So I'm glad you're here today, Benjamin, to help us to do that. Now, what other advice do you have for us?
So I want to build on what you just said, Audrey, and that is, in order to grow, we have to push ourselves past our boundaries. And a lot of times that starts with ourselves, you know, practicing, trying, figuring things out. But whether you're a professional athlete, a consummate performing artist, a top musician, or a business leader, you always need to have somebody coach you to push past your current level. Michael Jordan had athletic trainers and coaches. Business leaders constantly have advisors, have their investors giving them advice. And people like you and I also need folks in our lives who are telling us, hey, did you think about this? When you made that decision, what was going on in your head? Have you thought about this new thing that's coming around the corner? So always look to push yourself in a new direction. I'm personally jazzed by learning, and I hope that excites a lot of the listeners here. I assume people who are interested in bettering themselves are definitely interested in learning. And part of that process is finding outsiders who can really push us to the next level.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. We do need to. And that's all about building, scaling, and growing. It's the name of your company, Build Skill Grow. And your website again is WeBuildSkillGrow.com,
right? That's right. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So definitely, folks, I'll plug into his website again and find that. Get that handbook, Skill, Reach Your Peak. And, you know, consider Benjamin and his team for coaches or, you know, for that next level. So, Benjamin, what other area that we need to really hone in and improve on, perhaps as individuals, you know, our individual personality, our personal development probably is the better word I'm looking for.
So, Audrey, one thing I like to talk about with business leaders is the introverted leader. And I define being an introvert as somebody who recharges by being by themselves. An introvert is not necessarily shy, but typically they feel the energy draining from their body when they're in large groups or unfamiliar crowds. And yet a lot of strong leaders are introverts. It's not something we talk about often. We expect that the introvert who's, you know, going around talking to lots of people, we expect that person is an extrovert, but in fact, they very well may be an introvert. So then what I talk about with leaders is you want to gain experience just through exposure. You'll get a little better at meeting people, at sifting through crowds, but also be very self-aware about your own limits. If you're going to an event, don't go in there expecting to talk to 100 people for a couple minutes. Focus on a couple quality conversations and then catch your breath. If you feel like it's too much, excuse yourself for a minute, do what you need to, you know, recompose yourself and then come back to the event, talk to a couple more people. And then also, if you're a leader who's an introvert, you want to think pretty strongly about surrounding yourself with one or two others who are extroverts. So maybe that's your head of sales. Maybe that's your COO or chief of staff. Maybe that's your co-founder. Particularly if you're a technical founder, you might find it's useful to have an extrovert as a business co-founder. So being aware of that, there are a lot of strengths to being an introvert, where you might be more creative, you might be more reflective, you might really be able to do some deep work that leads to amazing innovation. But there are other sides. To run a business, you have to be around people a lot. So think about your strengths and how to supplement the other areas so that you can grow the business the way you want.
Awesome. Thank you, Benjamin. That was great advice.
Oh, good.
Great advice. Oh my goodness, we can have, you know, the best business, the best products, services to offer. But if we cannot express ourselves or have someone, you know, to do it, it's a lost cause. So really appreciate that, that interjection there, that insert there. Thank you.
Oh, sure. No, I totally agree with the sentiment. There's what we're doing and the quality, but then there's also communicating that effectively to your audience. So, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Then we can scale and grow. So thanks again, Benjamin.
Thank you. It's been great coming on, and look forward to hearing how this turns out.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.